1 John chapter 1, verse 1. As Dale said, we begin a new sermon series today, the book of 1 John, entitled Blessed Assurance. You know, there are things that the children of God need to know, that you need to know. Number one, you need to know that you're saved. I don't mean a hope so or maybe so, I mean a know so. You need to know where you're going, because this life is not all there is. You need to know if where you are is right with God. The life that you live, the lifestyle that you live, you need to know that your relationship with God is as it should be. And this book is filled, 1 John is filled with so that you may know. Okay? That's why the theme of this study is blessed assurance. These are assurances that we can have as God's people. We begin 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the words of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Father, it is so needed in our lives, in our culture, in our country. Father, give us ears this morning to hear, eyes to see, that we may fully understand Your word, and that we may be transformed by Your word, that we may be found walking in the light of You. We pray Your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're to start, first of all, with John's credentials in this message today. At the beginning, why should we answer the question, why do we or why should we listen to John? Well, it's pretty easy. As we read the first four verses, John makes the comment, that which we've heard, that which we've seen, that which we've touched. And the idea there is John is sharing with the reader that everything he's going to share with you, he has experienced firsthand from Jesus Christ Himself. You know? He has seen Jesus with his own eyes. He's touched Jesus with his own hands. He has even been there when Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Everything John is about to teach us about Jesus is first-hand knowledge. And when you want to know about somebody, you go to someone who knows that individual, right? If you want to know about me, who do you go to? Beth. She may be more honest than I want her to be, but I guarantee you she knows me. Listen, these apostles, John, they walked with Jesus for 3 years. They saw His miracles. They saw what He did and what He taught and what He practiced. And so He wants you to understand from the very beginning, He is sharing with you firsthand knowledge of what He knows about God. And the first thing he shares is that God is light. Verse 5, and I'd suggest you keep your Bibles open because we're just going to go back through the text that we read, but I want to reread verse 5. It says, "This message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Now that makes sense. God is light, in him is no darkness. What we have to figure out first and foremost is what is light and what is darkness. When it says that God is light, we're talking about God being a beacon of righteousness. That in Jesus Christ, everything about God is right and everything illuminates the path to righteousness. And of course, darkness is simply the absence of light. And I love the way we don't get this if we don't translate the language. But the Greek of that, John says, in God is, he uses a double negative there, which I was taught in English that you never do, but they did in Greek, and they did that for emphasis. And John actually says that in God there is not, it is not none at all. And it was like if we say, there is not one little bit of darkness whatsoever found in God. Literally. And why is that so important? Because the idea, this whole concept here that John is teaching, the idea is that you will be able to have vision. You will be able to see. In the dark, you cannot see. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Don't you hate getting up at night in a dark room and for whatever reason you're thirsty, you have to go to the restroom, whatever, and you get up, inevitably, what are you going to do in that dark room? You're going to stump your toe. And when that happens, you're going to say, "Glory to God!" Right? Maybe we should, but we don't. It just ruins the whole evening. Why? Because we can't walk in darkness. Right? Same thing spiritually speaking. If you have no illumination as to right and wrong, you can't walk in the light. And this pretty much answers our question, why is our world like it is? You know, there are so many things that I take for granted. And I question, don't people see what they're doing? What is happening to our society, whereas there seems to be no right and no wrong? And I ask, how can people live this way? I ask such questions as how can people have an abortion? That's a baby. And since I've become a grandfather, I'll tell you, I have a new appreciation for babies. Oh, they are precious. You know, and we were having a conversation before church. There's something about babies. You just have to reach out and touch. Because they're so precious. And in my mind, I can't... Why would you kill a baby? It's because you can't see. You're like, well, you know, women's rights, Brother Doug. The woman has the right to choose. Listen, what about that baby's right? You see, there are things like this that to many of us would just be plain and simple. You know, right and wrong. Can't you see what you're doing? The answer is no. People can't see what they're doing because they walk in darkness. They don't see. And once you walk in darkness, you can't see right and wrong anymore. It's like the alternate lifestyle of today. You know? Men marrying men, women marrying women. And I think to myself, can't you see? Can't you see how wrong that is? Go to Romans chapter 1. And you see very quickly. And listen, if you... I'm not... Well, it is what it is. It's just wrong. It's wrong. And people say, well, I don't see what's wrong with it, Brother Doug. It's because you're in darkness.
and you can't see. So that's why John establishes from the very beginning, God is light. Once you understand and make your decision to walk in light, your whole life is illuminated. And there's no question about right and wrong anymore. Because if God says it's right, it's right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. In today's culture, there just seems to be no right and wrong. And it's because we have chosen darkness rather than light. We've got to have light in this country. Not only do we need light, we need truth. Because see, there's so many that are living a lie. In verse 6 it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie. Let's establish some truths, okay? Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. All right, if you would agree with these statements, would you just say amen at the end of these statements? We know that everything about God is light and truth. We also know that everything that we know about God basically comes from the Bible or the Word of God. Would you agree? Now, if we open that Bible, excuse me, if we open our Bible and God says something is good, it's good. Amen. If we open this Bible and God says something is bad or wrong, it's bad or wrong. Amen. And therefore, if I live my life doing the things that God says are sinful, yet I have fellowship with God, or I say I have fellowship with God, I am a liar. It's according to verse 6. Okay? You see, our world today, our culture today says things like, well, God understands. Nobody's perfect. God understands. And I want you to understand we're talking about a godless or a lifestyle of darkness. Right? I'm not talking about I lost my temper and said some things I shouldn't have said, or I slipped in some area. I'm talking about choosing an ungodly lifestyle. Okay? That's what John's talking about here. And so, in our culture today, you hear such phrases as, God understands. We're all just sinners. God accepts me just the way I am. And my personal favorite is, times have changed. And we do this to try to portray to everyone else that God approves of my sinful lifestyle. My friends, when John says we lie, that we in the English translation we don't get the full effect of that. That phrase, we lie, it means to absolutely, completely, boldly tell a lie. You put it in today's language, we would say, you're just a bold-faced liar. That's what John's saying. See, verse 8 describes it perfectly. And here's why verse 8 is in here. Because people try to justify their sin and they say, well, I'm not so bad and God made me this way. And we have where we try to justify what we do. And you cannot justify sin. If you'll notice 1 John 1:8 in the text, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When we try to justify a lifestyle that is not godly, we're lying. We're lying to ourselves and we're lying to others. And understand, I'm talking about any godless lifestyle. Are you living with a person outside of marriage? You've chosen a lifestyle of darkness. It is. It is. Are you having an affair? You're choosing a lifestyle of darkness. Well, nobody knows that it's a lie. You're going to get caught, first of all. And secondly, don't try to go around justifying yourself based on what you say everybody else is doing. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about your relationship with God and the lifestyle that you choose. Okay? Are you going to walk in darkness or walk into light? You see, you need to know. You need to know that the way you're living and where you are right now, that you're living in light and not darkness. Because if you live in darkness, somewhere along the way you're going to stumble. And the crash can be pretty big. Look at verse 7. We don't want to live the lie. We want to live the light. We want to live in the light. First John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in light, He's as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." That word fellowship is an interesting word. It doesn't mean that we're going to have eating in the kitchen after service. That's kind of the way we use that in today's church. But that word fellowship, it means an intimate association or partnership. And you know, as I read that, I'm reminded of the fellowship that God's people have with God's people. You know? I'm reminded how great it is to be a part of the Lord's church. You know, I love you. And I love spending time with you. I love it when we come together and worship the Lord. Do you? I mean, I absolutely... And the funny thing is, as I look around, we're different. We're very different. We all have different ideas and different, desires and likes and dislikes. I mean, well, everybody knows that the Dallas Cowboys are America's football team, right? Oh, booze, yeah. See the mixture? Some of us have different opinions there. I can say, you know, Ford's better than Chevy on cars, and some would agree, some would disagree. Some would stand up and say, no GMC. Oh, what I want you to get is how sweet the fellowship of God's people are. Is. I'm sorry. It is so good to come together and open a hymn book and let Brother Dale lead us inside. There's something about that I can't get anywhere else. I sing in my vehicle all the time when I'm driving down the road. I'll sing. But I'll tell you what, it's not as good as it is here with God's people as we all lift up our voice to God. There is a special fellowship, a special relationship. And the reason in that relationship that brings us all together is not so much the relationship with one another, it's our relationship with God. Okay? You see? I love Jesus and you love Jesus, and that just pulls us together. And all the differences doesn't seem to be so different anymore. It doesn't really matter anymore. But listen, I cannot be in fellowship with a person who calls himself a believer, who is walking in darkness. I lose fellowship with that person. Why? verse 11, 1 Corinthians 5:11. Paul said, "Now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." Now, he's not talking about those who are outside. Yes, we've got to have relationships with those who are not called brothers so that we can win them. But let me tell you, when a brother decides to take the road of darkness, I cannot go down that road with him. I love him, and I'll pray for him. I'll be kind to him. But I won't lock arms and go down that road with him. Why? Because it'll break my fellowship with God. God is light. God is light. And if I choose darkness, I'm not choosing God. See, that's where people have a problem with church discipline. I've heard, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "Well, I don't believe in church discipline." Well, don't read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 then, because that'll just shatter your theology. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 12 says, "For what have I to do for judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." Why? What fellowship has light with darkness? That's why. I will tell you, it breaks my heart to break fellowship with someone who claims to be saved. It breaks my heart. However, God is right. Amen? And when God says, "Get away from them, put them out," you better listen to what God says, because He's right. He's light. And that's part of living in light, is getting rid of the darkness. You cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God's people. All right? That is it. You may be here today and at this point you'll swell up. "Well, who do you think you are?" I'm not anybody. I'm not declaring judgment on you. I'm just very simply telling you or sharing with you what God's Word says. Okay? And I don't have the right to an opinion. I just have the right to walk in the light. If God says it, it's right. Amen? All right. Then finally, let's go to loving the light. Getting in the light. Verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light." If we walk in the light. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice. We have to take responsibility for where we are. And we're living in a culture that wants to blame everything upon where, you know, and say, "Well, you had a hard childhood, and that's why you're making all these bad choices." Hogwash. They're still your choices. I love you, but I will not justify an ungodly lifestyle. It's your choice. Okay? What he's talking about, if you walk in the light, he's talking about repentance. Repentance. Making a choice. The idea is there must be a turning away. You realize that, "Hey, what I'm doing is wrong in the sight of God, and I don't want to do that anymore." That's why the Bible calls it repentance, and it's a change of mind and direction. You've been living over here in a life of darkness, and you see that it's wrong. I don't want that anymore. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to go a different direction. You see, that's what the world, your average person in the world, they don't want that. They have the idea of, "God loves me just like I am." I want to share with you, God does love you, but He does not love where you are. Okay, there's a big difference. It's called repentance. How do you love the light and begin to walk in the light? It's turn. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. Right here, today, I'm going to turn from that lifestyle and I'm going to turn to a godly lifestyle. Make sense? All right? Then, confession. Repentance, then confession. Verse 9. says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's really an interesting verse. When you get down and you break that verse down, that word confess, we think the word confess means to go before God and start naming our sins. That's actually not what it means. That word confess means literally in the Greek to say the same thing. So if you say the same thing as God, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. The idea there is agreeing with God. Okay? The idea is agreeing with God. And that's the problem that society has today. Is we don't want to agree with God anymore. You know? We don't want to say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. We want to, once again, we want to say, God loves me just like I am. No, 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 no. He loves you, but He doesn't love how you are. All right? The idea is agreeing with God. It means, yes, what I'm doing, Lord, is wrong. You ever been there? You've been in that lifestyle that you know is wrong, and you've just had to say, Lord, I agree. I could try to justify it any way I want, but the bottom line is you said it's wrong, and it's wrong, and I agree with you, Lord. And I want to turn. Listen, if there's repentance, if there's confession, there will be trust. Again, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. You know what the wonderful thing about all of it is? Yes, Jesus is light. God is light. In Him is no darkness. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking in darkness. It doesn't matter what you've been doing walking in darkness. It doesn't matter how bad you think you've been. If you agree with God and repent and turn from it, He'll forgive you. Isn't that great? Brother Doug, you don't understand. I don't have to understand because God says it and it's right. But Brother Doug, I've been a rascal. I've been a terrible person. That's fine. Just agree with God, repent, and turn to Jesus Christ seeking forgiveness, and He'll forgive you. You see the blessed assurance here? If we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Then finally, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His words not in us. You see, today you're faced with a decision. You either agree with God or you don't agree with God. As you sit here today, you may be living in that ungodly lifestyle and you've got to make a choice. I've either got to agree with God and turn from this life of darkness and turn toward Jesus, or I've got to stay where I am. And if I stay where I am calling God a liar. That's serious. I mean, look at verse. If we say we have not sinned. Oh my, you know, this lifestyle is not so bad. I'm okay. I'm as good as anybody else. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. It's not saying God's lying. It's saying we're calling Him a liar. We're making Him a liar. We're trying to make Him the liar when we ourselves are the liar. Here's what you've got to decide. You've got to decide today. Are you going to agree with God and start walking in the light? And this is the condemnation. That light, John 3:19, that light came into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. What's our problem today? People are choosing darkness when light is available. Are you saved? Listen, my friend, God gave His only Son to die upon the cross of Calvary to take your punishment, and He took your punishment. And He says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you saved? Brother Doug, I was baptized. Didn't ask you that. Brother Doug, I'm a church member. Didn't ask you that either. There are people who are baptized who've never called upon Jesus Christ, received Him as their Savior. There are church members in churches today who've never placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. It's decision time. You either choose light or you choose darkness. The choice is yours. But honestly, there is only one choice. That choice is Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day, O Lord. We thank You for Your Word. Now I pray that You'll apply Your Word to our lives. That, Lord, everyone present here today will choose light rather than darkness. That for those who are walking in darkness, who have never received You as their Savior, that today they will come to You. I pray for perhaps those who have made a profession of faith, but they're making bad choices. They're choosing darkness instead of light. Father, I pray that You'll convict them today and bring them back so that they will agree with You and turn from their sin, turning to You, O God. I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.